Welcome to the Kingdom Reformation Podcast with Glenn Blakeney. Here the fire of revival ignites hearts and fuels a supernatural move of God throughout the nations of the earth. Join us each week for prophetic insights, apostolic teaching, and powerful conversations that will equip you to live fully awakened in your kingdom purpose. This is more than a podcast. It's a movement. Learn more about us by visiting kingdomreformation.org. Now, let's dive into today's episode.
Okay, let's jump right into this deep dive. We're exploring a specific perspective today. It's about the changing dynamics you see in some ministry and church communities.
That's right. And our source for this is an article by Glenn Blakeney. It's called Alignment, Not Control in the Church. And you can find it over on the kingdomreformation.org site.
Yeah, and the article, it really gets straight to attention, doesn't it? This idea that while many established church structures have been, you know, faithful and important historically,
something new seems to be bubbling up. A sense that maybe some of the old ways, the existing frameworks, aren't quite fitting what God's doing right now.
He puts it quite starkly right at the beginning. He says, in this hour, churches don't just need permission, they need breathing room.
Mm. That line really sets the tone. Mm. It suggests that for some people, leaders, ministries, the structures feel less like support.
And more like a restriction, yeah. He calls it religious red tape.
Exactly. And he acknowledges the past, but insists there's a new wineskin emerging, and it doesn't fit within yesterday's containers. That's a pretty powerful image.
It really is. That biblical metaphor suggesting, you know, that you can't force the new thing into the old shape without breaking something.
Right. Damage to both, potentially.
So our mission for this deep dive is basically to unpack what he's arguing here. We want to get into why he thinks this shift from, let's say, control to alignment is needed.
And look at the specific problems he sees with certain models out there today. And then, crucially, understand what this apostolic alignment thing he proposes actually is.
Yeah.
Based just on what he's written.
Okay, so we'll cover the red tape, these apostolic pioneers he mentions, his critiques of relational networks and campus church models.
Contrast that with how he sees the Apostle Paul operating in the New Testament.
And then really define this apostolic alignment idea. Sounds good.
Let's do it.
All right, so starting with that phrase, religious red tape, what's he actually getting at there? Is it just paperwork?
Well, he says it's more than just, you know, admin hassles. Yes, yep. There are layers of bureaucracy, but it's also about unspoken expectations. Okay. And this phrase really jumps out: control disguised as covering. He's suggesting that things meant to guide or protect can actually end up stifling people, requiring conformity.
Control disguised as covering. Wow, that suggests it's not always obvious, right? It can seem like hell, but the effect is limitation.
Precisely. And his core point is, when that happens, the very structures that should support the move of God have often become barriers to it.
So it's not just inefficient. It's actually, from his perspective, getting in the way of what the Spirit wants to do.
Yeah, hindering that organic growth he believes is happening. Structures prioritizing rules over the Spirit's movement, basically.
Okay, so who's feeling this most acutely, according to the article? Who's bumping up against this red tape?
He talks about a group he calls apostolic pioneers, describes them as Spirit-led leaders and ministries carrying blueprints for fresh expressions of the church.
So not just maintaining things, but building new stuff.
Exactly. Their calling, as he listed, is about wanting to plant churches, raise disciples, equip saints, and release sons and daughters into Spirit-empowered mission.
That phrase, sons and daughters, he means believers being empowered for their own thing, right?
Yes. Mature believers being released to their own unique callings. But the challenge they face, he says, comes from these control-driven models.
How so? What's the friction point?
Well, he argues these models often require conformity over creativity and compliance over conviction. So if you're one of these pioneers with a unique blueprint, a specific mandate from God,
it doesn't fit the standard template.
Right. You feel held back because your distinct vision is treated like something that needs to be, I don't know, managed or corrected instead of unleashed.
That makes total sense. If you feel called to build something unique, being pushed into a mold would feel stifling. There's a line you mentioned earlier.
True kingdom leadership does not suffocate the unique mandate of others. It releases it.
Yeah, that one. It really frames leadership differently, not as managing structures, but empowering people's specific callings.
That's central to his whole argument. Structures demanding conformity, he believes, end up suppressing what God is trying to do through individuals. And he stresses, this desire for freedom isn't rebellion.
It's a response to the Spirit, he suggests.
Yes, moving people towards freedom, into family, and into faithful alignment with heaven's purposes, not man-made structures.
Okay, so what specific structures does he critique as potentially falling into this control category?
He focuses on two main types that are pretty common now. First, what are often called relational networks.
Relational networks. Sounds good on the surface. Very positive. Connection support.
It does. And he acknowledges the language used covering covenant community. But the critique is that, in reality, some of these can operate more like, well, repackaged denominations.
Repackaged denominations. How would that actually play out? What makes them feel less relational and more restrictive?
He suggests it can be subtle things. Maybe pressure to adopt a certain brand or a specific way of doing things.
Oh.
Or required participation in certain programs, policies. And maybe unspoken comparisons to whatever the central model is that everyone's kind of expected to copy.
So the core question he poses is whether these structures actually liberate or legislate. Is it about freeing up ministry or imposing rules?
Exactly. So despite the warm, fuzzy language, the dynamic underneath might still be about enforcing standards and getting everyone to look the same.
And he makes that interesting point that control isn't always heavy-handed.
Right. He says control doesn't always come with a harsh tone. Sometimes it wears a smile. That subtle pressure, that relational nudge to conform, can be just as limiting as hard rules.
That's a really sharp observation. Okay, what's the second model he looks at?
The multi-site or campus church model. Now, he's careful here. He says they can be effective, you know, for getting a message out, managing resources well. But he warns they can also sometimes turn into centralized control mechanisms.
Centralized control in a campus model. What would that look like on the ground, according to him?
He gives some concrete examples, like situations where every message is piped in from headquarters, so the local pastor isn't preaching their own message.
Right, they're just facilitating the video feed, essentially.
Or where the local pastors become site managers rather than shepherds, more admin than actual pastoral care.
Mm-hmm.
Also, where vision is imposed rather than incarnated, meaning it comes from the top down, not growing naturally in that local setting, and maybe where metrics override ministry, numbers become more important than people work.
Wow. So in that scenario, the local leader isn't really leading a unique church. They're managing a branch office.
That's the danger he's pointing to. And he asks some tough questions for people in those models, like, are we multiplying disciples or duplicating a brand?
Oof.
Yeah. And are we building churches or expanding an organization? His concern is that if not done right, you end up with dependent satellites instead of empowering mature sons leaders equipped for their own ministry.
Okay, so that covers the critique. But then he contrasts this with a different model, drawing on the Apostle Paul. How does he see Paul working?
He presents Paul as someone who started many churches, but crucially, didn't set up a top-down hierarchy to control them all. Paul didn't create, like, a franchise model where every church had to be identical.
So if Paul wasn't controlling them, what was the relationship?
According to the article, it was about relationship and empowerment. He fathered leaders, mentored them, he empowered local elders, trusting leadership within the community, and he offered guidance, not domination.
Guidance, not domination. That's a key distinction.
It is. And he uses that quote from 1 Thessalonians where Paul says, "We were gentle among you like a nursing mother taking care of her own children." It paints a picture of nurture, not command.
That image, a nursing mother versus, say, a CEO, really drives home the difference in the kind of relationship he's talking about.
Absolutely. The article highlights that Paul trusted the Holy Spirit in others. He believed local leaders and communities were capable. And the big takeaway the author draws is that covenantal relationship is far more powerful than contractual obligation.
Covenantal relationship, more powerful than contracts. That sounds like the core of his alternative.
It is. It's the bridge to what he calls apostolic alignment. He positions it as a third way. It's not the chaos of everyone doing their own thing with no connection, but it's also not the control of rigid structures or subtle pressures.
So if it's not rules or policy, what is it based on?
He defines it by internal dynamics, relationship, faith and friendship, prophetic partnership. It's about spiritual connection, mutual respect, not organizational charts.
Okay, a relational model, spiritually grounded. What does that look like in practice? What are the signs of healthy alignment, according to the article?
He lists a few things. It involves fathering voices who build up, not tear down. So leadership is supportive, nurturing. It provides relational covering that feels like family, not corporate control, emphasizing belonging and safety over just being part of an institution.
Family, not corporate. I get that.
There's accountability that restores, not restricts. Meaning, when things go wrong, the goal is help and restoration, not just punishment or limitation.
Restorative, not just restrictive. That's different.
And fundamentally, it's built on covenantal trust, not contractual obligation. Again, commitment comes from relationship, voluntarily, not because of a signed paper.
Those points really spell out the difference. It sounds much more organic, life-giving, like that breathing room idea.
Exactly. That's the goal he's describing. And the main message is crystal clear. Alignment should unlock your mandate, not hijack it.
Unlock, not hijack. So connection should help you do what you're called to do, not pull you into someone else's agenda.
Precisely. This alignment model, in his view, helps leaders step more fully into their unique thing instead of getting absorbed by a system.
The article has that helpful table comparing control and covenant side by side. Let's quickly walk through those points. They seem to really nail the core difference.
Yeah, it's a great summary. Okay, so under control, he lists, it goes from insecurity, it demands sameness, it protects the institution, and the message is essentially serve the vision.
Okay, insecurity, sameness, protecting the institution, serving the vision. Got it. Now, contrast that with covenant.
Under covenant, it flows from identity, it celebrates uniqueness, it prioritizes the people, and the invitation is fulfill your call.
Wow, the difference in the starting point, insecurity versus identity, that's huge. One needs control because it's insecure. The other is secure enough to trust uniqueness.
Exactly. And look at the results. Control wants everyone the same, maybe for efficiency. Covenant loves and encourages the differences.
And the focus is totally different, too. Control protects the organization itself. Covenant focuses on the people within it.
Right, which leads to those final commands or invitations. Control says, serve our vision. Covenant says, go fulfill your unique calling.
So covenant, as he describes it, is deeply committed, but not forced.
It's coercive, yeah. It's about choosing to walk together, honoring each other, supporting each other, even with differences. This, he thinks, is the way towards reforming the structures, reviving spiritual family, and getting back to rhythms that multiply ministry, not monopolize it.
He also seems to speak pretty directly to leaders who might be feeling stuck in those controlling structures.
He does. He acknowledges that feeling of suffocating that some pastors or leaders experience when the system doesn't fit their calling or the new things God's putting on their heart.
And he gives them a kind of permission slip, doesn't he? Validates those feelings.
Absolutely. He says point blank that wanting freedom, needing that breathing room, following a different blueprint that's not rebellion, it's not disloyalty, it's not disqualifying.
That's a strong affirmation.
He affirms that these leaders were made to breathe, build, and blaze a trail, to go after their unique thing. His vision is that the real church isn't confined to denominational boxes or any other man-made limits.
So it's a call to move beyond limitations, but he's not saying go it alone, is he? He mentions that initiative, Awake Nation.
Right, that comes up as a concrete example, an attempt to build something better together. It represents the kind of community he's advocating for.
And their core beliefs line up with this alignment idea.
Yes, exactly. Their stated beliefs are freedom without isolation, so you're not alone if you step out, alignment without control, the main theme, and family without uniformity, celebrating uniqueness again.
Seen, strengthened, sent. Not silenced, stifled, stuck.
Yeah, that's their goal.
Yeah.
Creating an environment where leaders are really released into their calling.
Okay, that sounds like the practical application of everything he's been talking about. And the article actually invites people to learn more.
It does, yeah. It mentions a specific vision Zoom call coming up. It's to introduce the Awake Nations global network that he's part of.
Okay, what are the details for that?
Let's see. It says Tuesday, June 11th, 6:00 p.m. Eastern Time. For Canada and the USA. And it's aimed at pastors, pioneers, kingdom leaders, basically anyone who resonates with this message.
And the purpose is to explore walking together in this alignment model.
Exactly. Exploring spirit-led alignment, covenant relationship, and apostolic purpose. It's a direct invite to connect.
And beyond that specific call, the Kingdom Reformation site itself is positioned as a resource hub for this kind of thinking, right?
Precisely. The article lives there.
Yeah.
And the broader invitation connected to the site is to subscribe. Subscribing is access to more resources, other Zoom meetings, teaching podcasts, videos, articles, things like that. It's the way to keep engaging with this whole vision.
Got it. So that gives us a really thorough picture of the argument in Glenn Blakeney's article, The Critique of Control, the vision for alignment based on covenant and relationship, and the goal of empowering unique callings.
It's definitely a clear articulation of a tension many seem to feel today, that longing for connection and support that feels more like, well, family and less like corporate management.
So, thinking about you, our listener, what does this whole distinction between control and alignment stir up for you? Do these ideas about structure, freedom, relationship, do they resonate with experiences you've had, maybe in a church context, maybe somewhere else entirely, like work or community groups?
Yeah, where do you see these dynamics playing out?
Yeah.
The article talks about alignment, unlocking your mandate, your unique purpose. It makes you wonder, where in your own life or work might you be feeling that red tape or maybe control disguised as covering? Something that feels like it's holding back your specific contribution.
And how might things change if there was a shift towards more of that relationship-based alignment he describes? Definitely something to chew on. How are we structured and how does that help or hinder us stepping into what we're meant to do?
A really interesting perspective from the source material today. A deep dive worth considering.
Hey everyone, Glenn Blakeney here. Are you passionate about revival and reformation? Do you want to deepen your understanding of fivefold ministry and how to advance the kingdom in every sphere of life, including the marketplace? Well then join the Kingdom Reformation Leaders Community today. We offer a free subscription to get you started, as well as a monthly plan that provides valuable content and insights. For those seeking even more, our Leaders Plan includes all-inclusive access to a wealth of resources focused on church leadership, apostolic movements, prophetic ministry, and much more. You can engage in live sessions and discussions that explore how to effectively implement these principles in your life and community. With our monthly leaders training featuring esteemed kingdom leaders from around the globe, you'll be equipped to make a transformative impact. Don't miss this chance to grow in your calling and to contribute to the movement of revival and reformation, advancing the kingdom of God to cities and nations. Sign up for the Leaders Plan or any other subscription at kingdomreformation.org today.